The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
J.J. Watt going to be back for the playoffs.
It's good news, man, because the Texans' defense is garbage without him.
With Watt in the lineup, opponents average 362 yards per game on offense. With him out of the lineup, 407 yards per game.
Okay.
There is an impact there. Now, the sacks aren't that different. With him in the lineup, they had 17. And that was in 8.5 games. So in 6.5 without him, they've had 14. But he's still second on the team in sacks. Raiders obviously need to beat the Broncos to get to 8-8.
All right.
The Steelers need to lose to the Ravens. We think that can happen. The Titans have to lose to the Texans. And finally, the Colts have to beat the Jaguars.
You want to know what I think the least likely of those things to happen is? The Raiders beating the Broncos.
It may be. If all that's happening and Oakland winds up losing, that'd be kind of fun.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. And you can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. If you missed the first 2 hours, that is some of what you missed. You've also missed us making fun of this 7-0 game. Which
so horrible.
This is horrible to watch.
I mean, I did bet under 50, so it's not worst thing in the world.
You know what? I always say never cash it before it's over. You can cash this one. There's a couple things I want to get back to on the whole barbershop thing, but right now we're going to go to Brad Powers, who's probably watching this thing. I'm going to guess Brad was on the under as well. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. He's the lead college football analyst at pregame.com. What's going on, Brad?
What's happening, fellas? I hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas.
You too, brother. But did you have a position on this Miami game, Louisiana Tech?
Yeah, I took Louisiana Tech, and that's one I just question Miami Florida's motivation to be there. And doesn't look like it, at least offensively. And as ugly as the game is, I can tell you if you're a fan of Louisiana Tech, and believe it or not, there's quite a few in the stadium here. I mean, if they hold on and win 7-0, they're going to feel pretty good, even though it has been a dumpster fire to watch.
I think kind of where I felt, because I don't know what your power ranking said. Mine had Miami about 11 points better than Louisiana Tech, but I still couldn't play it because of the motivation thing, and Miami losing to Florida International made me think that they just didn't care, and I just couldn't bring myself to pull a trigger, so I ended up settling on the under.
Yeah, and a lot of turmoil, and now that it makes sense, offensively being so bad. I mean, rumors flew literally right before the kick that they're going to part ways with the offensive coordinator, so you got to think that there was some turmoil there leading up to the game as far as preparation and whatnot, and certainly it's shown itself on the field.
Hey, at least we got a Tate Martell sighting.
Oh, my God.
That's a short one.
There's some funny memes on Twitter. I'm not a huge Twitter guy, but there are some good parts of it, and I'll tell you, there's quite a few good Tate Martell memes out there.
Well, you have a feeling on the game tonight. It looks like some pro money pouring in on Pittsburgh against Eastern Michigan. What are you siding at?
I'm still on Eastern Michigan. Look, a little bit of money came in on Miami today. I mean, we saw sevens pop up, and that game sat Louisiana Tech 6 for several days. So I'm not going to be totally afraid of the pro money. I've been a part of some pro money that's been a bunch of losers so far this bowl season. So even though the bigger money's on Pittsburgh, I'll say it again. What's Pittsburgh's motivation? You're just going to another Rust Belt city, Detroit. Nothing against Detroit, but how excited are they to be there? I think Eastern Michigan, a chance to play a Power 5 team, should be relatively excited. And, can Pittsburgh get margin? They haven't beat a single team by more than 10 points all season, and they played Ohio, they played Delaware, and they haven't. Georgia Tech's a really bad Power 5 team, and yet Pittsburgh hasn't been able to get margin on anybody. You got an offense that averages 20 points per game, so yeah, give me Eastern Michigan here.
Well, I hate that there's no bowl games on during Christmas Day. I feel like there should be bowl games on nonstop through this like this entire bowl season. But finally, it feels like tomorrow we really start to roll. The 27th is when there's, I think there's four or five games tomorrow. So we're really getting to something here. So let me ask you, we'll burn through a few of these games and get a quick take on if you like a side or a total in them. What do you see in North Carolina Temple?
I took a pretty good position on North Carolina, one of my favorite bowl games of the entire season. I laid the 4.5. I know it's up to 6 in a lot of spots now, but I'd still even lean that way at 6. My power rating's closer to the 7, 7.5. And here's where I think the mispricing is. It's on two fronts. Number one is, can you trust Temple's head coach, Rod Carey, in bowl games? I mean, he's 0-6 straight up and against the spread, and we're talking significant margin here. We're falling short of expectation by about 18 points per game against the spread, 0-6 in bowl games. And then I don't think enough people nationally have followed Sam Howell enough. He's the true freshman quarterback for North Carolina. 35 touchdown passes and only 7 interceptions this year. I mean, that's about as good of a true freshman season as we've seen anybody in the history of the NCAA. In fact, the 35 touchdowns, no true freshman's ever thrown for that many in the history of college football. So I think that's being a little underappreciated in the market. I like the Tar Heels.
One of the things that I noticed throughout the season with North Carolina was second half was the half that they really start to get going. Do you see Temple as a team that could get out early and maybe there's a look at Temple first half?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the dog, I certainly think first half makes a lot of sense. And look, why is the line 6? Because, I mean, I can act all strong and all high and mighty, but, I mean, North Carolina has had an issue getting margin on anybody. If you look at their 12 games, I think 8 of them have been decided by 7 points or less. So there's certainly that factor there. But if you look at Temple's, a couple of their losses were against teams that like to open it up and get the ball matriculating down the field, and that being UCF was one team that really gave Temple problems, and then SMU also gave Temple problems. And I think North Carolina is the type of team with their athletes in space that are going to give Temple some problems. But, yeah, if you're looking to bet Temple, I certainly think first half makes some sense.
I also see that in the last 24 hours that the total's gone up from 52.5, 50 to 53.5, so a lot of money pouring in on the over. You agree with that move?
Yeah, I do. I got it more 55 is where I priced it at. So, yeah, I agree with the line move, and I think anytime you're laying about a touchdown here, you know, if you're looking for the favorite, more points to get that margin would be a positive.
This Michigan State Wake Forest game is one of the hardest ones for me to choose. I mean, Michigan State obviously has been wildly disappointing this season. Wake Forest is they're a bullet train. I mean, they go, 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 go. I just don't know if they're going to be able to go against a more physical Michigan State team. Numbers now at 4. What do you see in this one?
Just a slight lean for me on Wake Forest. I echo your sentiments on it being a tough game. I just think the culture around Wake Forest is better than Michigan State right now. I mean, even Michigan State needed a win in that regular season finale against a terrible Maryland team, and they had to, you know, fight, claw, and scratch to win by 3 as a 3-touchdown favorite. Just don't trust it right now. And you look at Dave Clawson, last 3 years, 3 straight bowl wins, 3 straight covers for them. Jamie Newman looks like he's going to play for them and be healthy at quarterback. Just a lean for me on the Demon Deacons.
I have a bad number on A&M. I have A&M minus 6.5 against Oklahoma State. I took it apparently at its worst, and now it's dropped back down to 5.5 from a start of 4. Why the move back towards Oklahoma State with that number?
Good question. I have two positions here, not two strong ones, but just playing numbers. I mean, my number is 6 on the game. So you could have laid 3.5, 4 with A&M early in the bowl process, like first 24, 48 hours that the line was up. And then I took back 7 with Oklahoma State. I guess my only thinking is there was some question marks the first bowl, the first week of betting that, you know, maybe Chuba Hubbard might sit out. He's the nation's leading rusher, the running back for Oklahoma State, but he's going to play here. Right now my line's 6, so I'm all over the board. I got two positions here. I got Oklahoma State plus 7, A&M minus 4, my number's 6. So you guys figure it out. If the line's 5.5, probably at the current number I'd lean A&M. But nothing strong for me.
USC and Iowa, this one, I worry because I like Iowa here. I actually just took Iowa on the money line when the numbers were out. I took it at minus 125. I worry, though, about Iowa dealing with the speed that USC has on offense. And it's nothing like it's not like much that they've seen in the Big Ten. And when they have seen it, it's blown their doors off. What do you think of this game?
Tough one for me as well. Power ratings say Iowa's the play, but eye test says that Iowa indeed will have problems with SC's elite wide receiving core. And Keaton Slovis, about as good as it gets as far as a true freshman. I went with the over as my official position here. I do think Iowa struggles with USC's wide receivers, but I can't take a position on the Trojans here. I just don't trust a matchup of Kirk Ferentz, head coach for Iowa, against Clay Helton. So I took the over. I chickened out and went with the total.
I'm going to call this Washington State Air Force game the Points Bowl. I think there's going to be a whole lot of points. Washington State cannot stop the option, if their defensive coordinator's history is any indication, and Air Force cannot stop the air raid. So I don't know how anybody gets a stop on defense. I took it at 67. It's up at 69 now. Do you like the total, and do you like a side in this thing at 2.5?
Yeah, one of my favorite totals of the bowl season was the over here. You just can't replicate the opposing team's offense in practice here, even though you got extra time to prep. What's it do you any good? The fact that Washington State doesn't have the personnel to see, you know, to run an option offense as far as the scout team goes. Same with Air Force. I mean, they just don't have it. I think both teams are up and down the field. I know it's a lot of points here, but I took a position on over 67.
The Memphis-Penn State game had dropped down below 7, now back up to 7 with Penn State from an opener of 9.5. What do you see in this one?
I'm taking Penn State. I just think, you know, Memphis, too many moving parts for them. Obviously, Norvell's out, the head coach, he's off the Florida State. He took the defensive coordinator with him. So you look at the coaching staff here for Memphis, nobody's called plays before on offense or defense. As a play caller, and I just don't think Memphis has seen the type of talent that they're going to see as far as that Penn State front four on defense. I like the Nittany Lions.
One of the things I like about James Franklin as a bowl coach is that's a dude who he likes to run numbers. He wants to put up numbers on everybody.
No love lost.
And in a game that really means nothing, I could see him just trying his best to put up 50, 60 points in this thing.
Yep, I agree.
We talked to you when the numbers came out about Notre Dame, Iowa State, and you liked Iowa State then. I assume you still like Iowa State now?
Yeah, I do. I just, you know, I question Notre Dame's motivation. Been watching Brian Kelly's press conferences this week. He's kind of meandering when they're asking him about the team's preparation and how they've looked. I mean, it hasn't been resounding. You know, yes, we're locked in. I mean, I'm seeing it from the players, so I do think Iowa State on the other side has to be super excited. One of the biggest bowl games in the history of the school. And Brian Kelly's just not a good bowl coach. He's 3-8 against the number. He's never covered as a favorite. I'll take the Iowa State Cyclones, an underrated team that's lost 4 games by a combined 11 points. This easily could be a 9-win team.
We'll skip over a few that don't interest me much, and I don't think would interest the audience much. But I'll ask you about Mississippi State. Did you see their quarterback is going to be out for this game after his own teammate punched him at practice? Mississippi State now a -4 favorite against Louisville. What do you see here?
Another one that I didn't have a strong position. I went with the under. You know, the matchup edge for Mississippi State is them just running the football against Louisville's defense that's allowing 211 rushing yards per game. And you watch the Kentucky finale. I mean, the Wildcats ran all over Louisville. But on the other side, I mean, Louisville is a very run-heavy team. So two teams that are going to run the ball a lot, work the clock, got a relatively higher total here. Just a lean for me, under 63.5.
The Cal-Illinois game, numbers getting up close to 7 now. It's at 6.5. I like Cal. As long as they've got their quarterback, they seem to be a different type of team. And I've sort of been an Illinois seller all season long. But is this number inflated now? Is this getting a little out of hand?
It's tough. I mean, Cal suspended 4 players. I mean, none of them, you know, overwhelmingly great, but they're all starters. So that's a little concern there. I agree with you. Illinois is extremely overrated. I'm not a fan of either team. So I went ahead and took the under. I mean, watching this Independence Bowl right now, if you watch California's bowl game from last year, the Cheez-It Bowl, very similar, and I think we get a really low-scoring game here under the total for me, just a lean.
Navy and Kansas State on New Year's Eve. Navy now, they opened up as 2-point dogs, are now 2.5-point favorites. Why has the line moved so much, and is it moving the right way?
Yeah, I disagree with the line move. I had Kansas State favorites, so I agreed more with the opener. I mean, I have upgraded Navy more than any team in the entire country. I think 16 points since the start of the preseason for Navy this year, and yet I got an overlay here in the fact that Kansas State's saying, you know, screaming value as far as my power ratings go. I know the Service Academy's been really good in bowl games as of late, but I'll trust Chris Klieman. He's the new head coach for Kansas State, did a really good job this year. I think Kansas State beats Navy outright.
All right, here's some. The Texas-Utah game, I jumped on as soon as it opened up, well, as soon as it got to 7. I like Texas here because I just didn't think Utah would care about this game. I like Herman as a dog, but I feel like a Utah team that was so close to a national championship playoff spot, and now they don't even get a Rose Bowl. They're playing at the freaking Alamo Bowl. It just seems like a massive letdown. What do you see here? Am I underselling what Utah's motivation will be?
No, I think you hit on it. I mean, Herman, all the bowl, you know, all the underdog stats out there. He is 3-0 in bowl games, and he was an underdog in all three. So won them all outright. Matchup edges. I don't think this is getting enough play here. I think it's a significant one for Texas. You look at Devin Duvernay and Colin Johnson, the fabulous wide receivers for the Horns against the Utah defense. This will be the first game they're playing without their two best defensive backs, Jalen Johnson and Julian Blackman. I think that's a significant edge for the Horns.
The Michigan-Alabama game, and I feel like I'm about to be a sucker, but I like Michigan getting points here. I feel like this is a letdown spot for Alabama playing in a non-playoff game. I think Michigan played better late in the season. And I still think we don't really know what Alabama is offensively without Tua. What do you think of the touchdown? And there's even some 7.5s out there now.
Yeah, I think you got a pros versus Joe's game of the year as far as the bowl action goes. I mean, the pros are going to be with you, AJ. They're going to want to take Michigan. I think the public's overwhelmingly going to take Alabama. I'm going to sit on the sidelines and let you guys battle it out. I'll take the over because I question, you know, whether or not, you know, Michigan can stop Alabama's wide receivers. I've watched those two Buckeye games the last couple of years, and they've been no match. And the fact that Jerry Jeudy and all those guys are still going to play, I don't think Michigan can stop them. But on the other side, I don't think Alabama can stop Michigan's wide receivers. So even though it seems like a higher total at 58.5, I'm going over.
Auburn, Minnesota, this feels like a sucker play. I feel like Auburn should, and I've thought Auburn's one of the more underrated teams because they've got a big number in the loss column. I think Minnesota's an overrated team because they had a zero in the loss column for so long. But I think Auburn is one of the 10 best teams in the country. Well, what do you think of them giving 7 against Minnesota?
I'm laying it. I love Auburn here. And I love the news that just came out for the bet. Minnesota's offensive coordinator just left to take the Penn State job. The fact that he's leaving to go to a Big Ten school and the fact that he has been with P.J. Fleck, and his name is Kurt Shiroka for them, he's been with P.J. Fleck, I mean, all the way back to the Western Michigan days. So, the significant loss here game week for Minnesota to lose their offensive coordinator. Derek Brown, the fabulous defensive lineman for Auburn, is going to play an extra 15 practices. In theory, should help Bo Nix, the true freshman quarterback for Auburn. I'm not going to overthink it. I know it seems square, but I watched Auburn play a Big Ten team last year in a bowl game. I don't think it's going to be as bad as that one, but I'm not going to overthink this one. They got the better athletes all over the field with Auburn.
This Wisconsin-Oregon game, I think, is going to be one of the better games. I'm kind of torn on which side to fall on. I think that we've seen Oregon, really, these are two of the best offensive lines in the country, and people always talk about Wisconsin offensive line because they put so many pros out, but I think Oregon's may even be better than theirs. They're catching points here. I tend to lean with Oregon. What do you think?
Yeah, especially at 3 now. A little surprising, went up to 3 in a lot of offshore places. And look, Oregon at least showed the part. The two teams that they played that represent Wisconsin the most as far as the physicality aspect, Auburn in the opener, I thought Oregon was the better team throughout most of it, should have probably won the game. And then obviously in the Pac-12 championship game, Oregon dominated a very physical Utah team. So I don't think they're going to be overmatched in the trenches, Oregon. And I think they certainly have the quarterback with a higher upside. So I'll take the Ducks here, especially plus three.
The Georgia-Baylor game, it's a rule of thumb for me to fade the SEC team that ends up in the Sugar Bowl who doesn't make the playoff. This is a tough one, though, because I think Georgia physically is just is capable of dominating Baylor. It's just a matter of motivation. And I know Baylor is going to be motivated. How many points is that motivation worth as we see it now at six with Georgia? What do you see in this game?
Heck, there's even, you know, 5.5s out there. You know, like Pinnacle and Five Dimes in a bunch of places. So, I mean, it's certain that the lack of motivation, at least in theory, is certainly being priced into this number. And sometimes I just think the market gets too cute. Even though Georgia's going to be missing, what, three offensive linemen, they can plug in, you know, a lot more talented backups there. And I think Baylor's getting too much credit for those close losses against Oklahoma. I mean, the scoreboard was close, but the box score wasn't close. I mean, they were outgained by about 200 yards per game in those two games. I'll fade the big line move here. I'll lay it with Georgia now. I wouldn't have at 7.5, obviously.
But it's at 5.5, 6, you feel good.
Yeah, 5.5, 6, I'm going to lean with it. But I'll say this, I'm not going to be rushing to the window to bet it because there looks like there's still some negative negativity on Georgia in the marketplace. So maybe the number continues to drop.
All right, let's get to these playoff games now. The game's on Saturday. Let's start with LSU-Oklahoma. That number actually touched 14 for about half a second. Now it's hanging out around 13.5. I kind of lean to Oklahoma here. I feel like maybe this is too many points because one thing I know Oklahoma is going to do is score. And, you know, LSU, it looks like their running back may not play now, and that means it's going to be harder for them to control clock once they get out in front. It seems like this is a spot where Oklahoma can keep it within a couple touchdowns. What do you think?
I agree. A lot of agreement here. I don't know if that's good or bad. Oklahoma, I mean, I would have loved Oklahoma here. I am worried about the recent suspensions and injuries. The two biggest ones are both on the defense side of the ball, losing their best pass rusher, Ronnie Perkins, for them, and also their safety, Turner Yao, who's the second-leading tackler. So certainly big concerns there. But, you know, I think Oklahoma, look, both teams are motivated. It's the semifinals, for crying out loud. But I think Oklahoma has an extra chip on their shoulder, being disrespected by the national media like they don't belong there. And I like Oklahoma. There is no give up with them. I mean, they're down 28-0 against Alabama in the semifinal last year, and they still come back and cover that game. And, you know, you look at even the Kansas State, their only loss this year. When they're down, what, like 5 touchdowns, they rally. They almost, you know, tie the game if they can get that, recover that onside kick. So I think backdoor's fully in play here. I'll take the Sooners.
All right. And then Clemson, Ohio State, which I think might be the game of the year. Clemson -2. Against Ohio State, and it looks like maybe some money pushing, at least hedging the two towards a 1.5. If you like the Clemson side, maybe you wait, but it looks like money coming in on Ohio State. What do you think?
Yeah, just a really slight lean on the Buckeyes for me. I had them number one in my power rankings almost all year. Now, right now, I have Clemson a little bit ahead of Ohio State, but I gotta favor the Buckeyes. I mean, statistically, the two teams are about even, but the reality is Ohio State's played the much tougher schedule. Why it's not alike, why I won't have a lot of money on the Buckeyes, is it's tough fading. Yeah, obviously, Dabo Sweeney, who's on arguably in the last 8 years the best run we've ever seen in the postseason of any coach in college football history. So that's certainly a concern. But Buckeyes have won outright the last 7 times they've been a dog. So lean for me, Ohio State, but it's more of a popcorn game. I'll just sit and hopefully enjoy it, and hopefully it's a good game.
Fred and I talked early in this game. The most disappointing result could be Oklahoma beating LSU because it feels like it would rob us of a competitive national championship game. Could you see a situation where Oklahoma can win outright against LSU?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I kind of hope not because, you know, I think Clemson and Ohio State are better than LSU. I mean, I got that way in my power rating, so I mean, even if you got to upgrade Oklahoma significantly if they somehow pull the outright upset, but still, we're talking a double-digit point spread if it's Clemson or Ohio State over Oklahoma in the title game. Won't be the case. If LSU beats Oklahoma, and just say they beat it right around the spread, 10 to 14 points or whatnot, I think we're looking at a point spread under a field goal in the national title game if it's LSU versus the winner of Clemson, Ohio State. especially with LSU playing close to home. You'll have to shade probably at least a point and a half, a home field advantage for them playing an hour away from campus and down there in New Orleans. So, I'm rooting for a better of the two title games, and if that's the case, we need LSU to win.
All right, that's Brad Powers, pregame.com, and follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Make sure you check out the college basketball podcast he does with A.J. Hoffman as well. It's great stuff. And, Brad, appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon, and enjoy the bowls this weekend.
All right, right back at you guys. Happy holidays.
All right, thanks for making time, Brad.
All right. When's your next podcast with him?
I think we're looking at Sunday.
Okay, cool. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Two segments left. We're going to go ahead and finish it off without A.J. He's struggling today, so hopefully he'll feel better. Josh Jordan will fill in for him tomorrow. We will be on in between bowl games. So Aggies are at 4 o'clock. So we'll come on whenever the first game ends, and we'll do the show up until 4 o'clock. All right, let's go to the phone lines on the HRNP listener line for our man Rafael Esparza. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports and with my bookie. Rafael, how's it going, my friend?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Great, great. You hopefully had a great holiday season.
Oh, I love working on Christmas and watching NBA games. It's a fun time of year.
Well, let's get to some of these games this weekend, and I want to start with one that'll be on our station here tomorrow night. Texas A&M, Oklahoma State -5.5 in the Texas Bowl. Your thoughts on that game?
Oh, if Texas A&M can shorten up on their defense and stop the passing game of Oklahoma State, I think it's going to be a game. If not, boy, I think the Cowboys can probably put up a big number on Texas A&M like some SEC schools did against A&M all season long. I'm leaning towards the Cowboys next. I don't think A&M's defense will be able to stop the passing attack of Oklahoma State.
Let's get to the playoffs on Saturday. LSU now 13.5-point favorites over Oklahoma. Over-under is 76 on this one. Your thoughts on the total and the spread?
I think if you like to over, bet it now, because I would not be shocked if this thing gets bet up to 77-78. I think whoever has the ball last wins. I would not be shocked if the team that scores 50 first wins. I have LSU winning, but I have Oklahoma covering. I think it's going to be a much closer game than what the odds makers are telling us.
Well, Clemson, Ohio State, they're expecting to be close. Clemson -2 right now after opening at +1.5. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think defense is going to be key for both of them. And I like Clemson in this one. I think Clemson takes Ohio State, and I think they have a little bit more offense in the second half. And I think that's why they pull away. I think Clemson, that we made fun of them all season long. I think they host a trophy, and they flip us off because we made fun of them all season long playing a weak schedule. Would not be shocked if the Clemson Tigers beat LSU.
All right, a couple of NFL games to ask you about, and right now I don't know what the motivation is going to be for some of these teams, and obviously the game here in town, Titans at Texans. Titans now 3.5-point favorites. They need to win to get in the playoffs. The Texans will know by game time if they still have a shot at the 3 seed. Is that one where you wait and see because if the Chiefs win, then they really have nothing to play for?
Yeah, I think you wait and see because, I mean, this one opened up at pick, and now it's Tennessee -3.5 at 420 before kickoff. We'll know. What has to happen. I think wait on this one because you might get a fantastic number. I like Houston no matter what. I think Houston's going to play no matter how they do. I think they want to go into the playoffs with momentum. I like Houston no matter what the number is. I say hurry up and get Houston +3.5 because I don't think it's going to be like that at kickoff.
Eagles are 4.5-point favorites against the Giants. And after watching this Eagles team all year, they shouldn't be favored by 4.5 over anybody. Obviously, Giants nothing to play for. Eagles can still win the division here. You got any thoughts on that one?
I would love to see the Giants win outright so I can make fun of all the Eagle fans. And I would not be shocked if we may see some coaching changes and feel that they lose this game. Give me the plus points. It was 4.5. I mean, it was 5.5. This game's a 4:25 Eastern Standard Time. You could get maybe a plus five. I say wait and see what best number you can get on the Giants. I think the Giants can win this game.
All right, one more to ask you about before we let you go. Cowboys now 11-point favorites over the Redskins, and the Cowboys will be in a position where if the Eagles do lose that game, they can still win the division, believe it or not. 11 points, though. Are you willing to give up 11 with this Cowboys team?
No. We've seen them all season long. I mean, I liked it when the number was 7. I think they could win by 7 or even 8 points, but 11. I think that we would not be shocked if they win by a touchdown and the Washington Bettors win this one. I like Washington plus the 11. And here's another one, another late game, 4:25. You can probably get a better number. Do you know the public's going to be all over Dallas? You might be able to get a plus 12 by kickoff.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza, joins us every week. Great stuff as always, Rafael. Enjoy the games this weekend, and let's make some money.
Take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right, you do the same. Okay, a couple of things from that I wanted to get back to that we were talking about earlier is somebody was telling me, I hate when barbers want to talk to me, but I hate it even more when dentists think they can have a conversation with me mid-procedure. I can't stand that. It's like, so, how's your day going? Yeah,
that's just like trolling on their part.
It is. It's just maybe you're trying to take my mind off the fact that you're drilling a hole in my head. And Lamont says, you are a true anomaly. Most dudes go to barbershops exclusively for the meaningless talk. Coming to America kind of made it a thing. I don't know. And maybe it's the older I get. I just don't. I feel like I talk for a living. I feel like I spend 3 hours a day talking. I spend the rest of the day talking to people about work. I don't have a lot of people that I actually like to go out and have conversations with anymore. Now, sometimes if I'm going on a pub crawl or a bike ride or something, I meet people, that's cool. But, man, I just want to go and get my damn hair cut. That's it. I don't want to talk. I don't like, I've mentioned this before, I don't like when people call and just want to chat. I don't have time for that or interest in that.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Maybe that makes me a turd. But it's just, you know, I don't have time to sit there and have a chit-chat conversation with somebody. And that's why I almost never talk on the phone anymore, unless it's important and it's stuff that you can't convey via text. But, you know, mainly because usually it doesn't matter what day it is, I've got work going on. And that's more important. But just going to have a conversation and stuff, it's just not for me. I mean, that's...
Maybe if there's alcohol involved.
Well,
that's about it.
But yeah, I mean, that's it, again, though, it depends on the situation. Like every Thursday night, I go out with Gloria, Dave, and a couple friends. That's great. We have a good time. We have dinner, have a few drinks. It's all good. I enjoy that. But man, I don't, you know, I can't imagine going to a place just to have a conversation when I want to get my damn hair cut. It just doesn't work for me. And so, yeah, I don't know if it makes me an anomaly or it just makes me a jerk. But And I guess it's an old age thing. The older I get, the more I want to just focus when I do talk on the show. That's it. And, you know, for 5 days a week, we got to be here for 3 hours.
People need to respect that.
Oh, no, I mean, it doesn't mean I don't have conversations with people, especially if we're out on a remote. I love talking to people. That's part of the job. But as far as outside of work, wanting to go somewhere just to sit down and have a conversation... I don't enjoy it. It's not for me, except in certain circumstances. And I get surprised sometimes. We went on a pub crawl a couple months ago and just ran into a bunch of cool people with Eighth Wonder and had a blast. You know, we had a lot of fun, had some great conversations. That was cool. But, you know, when you go out on something like that, you sort of expect it, right? In a pub crawl, you expect to run into people. That's okay. But I do a lot less of that now. Maybe I'm just a bad person. That's probably true. I probably am a bad person, but I'm a bad person with more hair. And you can thank Dr. Linville for that. 975hair.com. And guys, if you know, new year coming, time to turn over a new leaf. And maybe you were where I was, where it's just like, man, this is so bad. I just need to shave it and start over and just live with a bald head or get something done. And all the things that we talked about just made no sense for me. One of them was hair plugs. One of them was some, like, almost a wig thing. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Then I met Dr. Linville, and he explained to me how the NeoGraft procedure works, where he takes hair off the back of your head, extracts individual follicles, and then transplants them to where you're thinning. over 2,400 is what he did for me because I needed a lot of work. And believe me, it's already starting to make a difference. It's not where it's going to be, but every day I look at it and it's like, oh, wow, that's growing out even more. And the reason I trusted Dr. Linville so much is when he sat me down, he said, hey, I had this done too, and his hair looks great. And it's your own hair, and it's not some goofball plugs or something like that. Go to 975hair.com and get your consultation. Just find out what it's about. Go sit down with him. Give him 5 minutes, and he'll sell you on it, believe me, because the process is fantastic. It's working great for me. I'm so glad I did it, and I wish I'd done it sooner. 975hair.com. Go meet my man, Dr. Linville. Get your hair back. 975hair.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No, A.J. left a little early here. Not feeling that great. So he will not be here tomorrow. We will have Josh Jordan filling in with me. So sorry, but you know he was not 100%. He toughed it out for as long as he could. And I think did a hell of a job.
He didn't sound bad at the beginning, but whenever he just talked to me to let me know that he was leaving, I was like,
wow. Yeah, he was fine on air, but off air, you could kind of tell that every time he had to talk, it was a strain. So we sent him on his merry way. Mom says, one saying you're bad, but most people I know go to barbershops to talk. I don't think they, he goes, I'm bald headed, so it's a non-discussion, just busting balls. No, listen, I get it. People are social creatures, but I find myself getting to where I really want to do less and less around a lot of people. I mean, because part of it is, you know, our jobs, we have to be out and about a lot, and I enjoy that, and I put a lot into that, but it just means the rest of the time I just kind of want to hang at home. But And for stuff like that, like dentists I don't want to talk to, doctors I don't want to talk to, just tell me, you know, tell me what the hell I need to do to not die. And same thing with when it comes to getting my hair cut. I just want to get my hair cut. And I just picked up quite a bit of points for that game there with Louisiana Tech, who I had beating Miami in our little pool there. All right. I do have... Since usually we do Hoffman on Hollywood. I do have some stuff for a Falcon on Famous People. So if you want to crank up the music, we'll do a Falcon on Famous People. All right, one of the things that I simply do not get, Holly Saunders and Vegas Dave. Now, I'll go on record as I'm not a big Holly Saunders fan. I think she has very healthy lungs, but the face looks so phony to me that just that's a hard no. And I always thought Cliff Kingsbury could do a little better than that. So her and the Vegas Dave thing kind of makes sense. But did you see that the internet went nuts because they were courtside at the Lakers game yesterday? I mean,
I did not see that.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh. And of course, Dave tweets out, beating the Las Vegas casinos, beating the feds, facing 19 alleged felonies and 40 years in prison, making $2 million a month off my phone with no overhead. However, the most difficult accomplishment of my life, believe it or not, was finding true love. This took 43 years to find. But I don't know why this guy's famous, and there's a lot of shady stuff around him. But hey, man, if this gets, if marrying Holly Saunders gets you this much attention, I guess you're just famous for being famous at this point.
There's actually betting sites where they're taking action on whether or not their marriage lasts.
Well, I obviously him dating her is helping whatever business it is he's doing. There's no question. So I don't know. Maybe it's just an arrangement. Maybe it is true love, Tyler. True love happens all the time. I mean, it did in Princess Bride. It's about the only time I've ever actually known of it happening. But
true love gets you a 10-carat diamond ring.
And she bought her those breasts. Were you a Shazam fan?
I never watched it.
Okay. Shazam 2 has been announced. They say they haven't actually announced the sequel yet, but they've got a release date. So April 1, 2022, Shazam 2. And one of the other things is The Flash, which has been sitting there forever, will also hit theaters in 2022 on July 1st. So 2022 will be a big year for DC with Shazam 2 and The Flash. I like the kid that played The Flash in Justice League. I'll watch that. But, yeah, Shazam, it was cute. I don't know that I needed to see another one. And finally, while we're talking about comic book movies, apparently there's a lot of rumors going around about the next Doctor Strange movie. And because that it involves a multiverse, there might be it's the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness has been described as the first horror film. And because it's going to involve parallel universes, there is a rumor going around. And there's a bunch of rumors around this movie, like Deadpool debuting, Wolverine, Keanu Reeves being in it. But interestingly enough, they may reintroduce evil versions of the original Avengers. So you'd have an evil Hulk.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, evil Captain America, evil Thor, because it's a parallel universe. And that'd be a good way to kind of bring them back in for a one-off and make it entertaining. And
get that cameo fee.
Yeah, yeah. And that is Fowler on Famous People. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow. Josh Jordan will be filling in. Tyler, are you here tomorrow too?
Harrison will be here. I'll be in the office doing other stuff.
Oh, okay. I think I picked up 35 points on you with Louisiana.
Cody did too.
God damn, Cody. Jeez. All right. Thanks, AJ, for sticking out as long as you did. Thanks, everybody who listened today. Appreciate all you guys. We'll be back tomorrow sometime around 2:30, 3 o'clock. It just depends on the bowl game. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.